wonder, just before we get stuck into North, Port and Richmond to kick it off, in your extensive journey through footy, have you crossed paths anywhere with David Noble?
Yes, 5 years with David Noble at the Adelaide Crows. We left there at the same time at the end of 2016 when he went to the Lions and I went to Essendon. So, yeah, spent plenty of time with Nobes, and he was the best GM of footy I worked under, I think, in my time in the AFL. And that was because he was really knowledgeable about all the different areas within the football department. He'd spent time as a development coach, obviously, with Bob, as he articulated earlier, as that head of development. He'd been assistant coach at the Crows, coached his own team at lower levels, and then had been a list manager and into a GM of footy. So I think such a well-rounded experience is going to hold him in good stead to be a senior coach. I think he'll do a great job.
He's got a hard edge to him, doesn't he, Rob?
Yeah, he does. He wasn't much fun to negotiate contracts with, I can tell you that much.
But,
but look, he does. And I think the big thing for Nobes is that he's really aware of his own strengths and weaknesses. And we've all got our different strengths and weaknesses. And I think it'd be really interesting what sort of assistant coaching panel they put around Nobes. John Blakey obviously comes there from Sydney, having spent a long time in the game. And I assume that the two of them would have a relationship from the time at Fitzroy. So I think that's a great starting point. And I'm sure North will make some great appointments around him.
In terms of dealing with, and we can only imagine what it is, but from the outside looking in, Rob, dealing with all of the complexities of the North Melbourne situation in particular, that surely must have been a massive consideration in the ultimate appointment.
I think it would have been from North Melbourne's perspective, having someone with a great breadth of experience and who's going to be a real calm head. So Nobes is going to understand the list management process as well. He's obviously spent a lot of time in that space and about how to build a list and the time it takes and how much they'll have to have a development focus in these initial couple of years as they rebuild this list. So he'll be a really nice, calm head. I think you'll hear really clear messaging out of the footy club with him at the helm. And I think it's a great appointment all around.
Right, well, let's jump off that conversation into North Melbourne. It's the right segue and the appropriate one. They were busy, obviously. They've got still some work to do. They've got a pretty strong draft hand, and there's been a lot of player movement. What have you made of their trade period and what they've got left from a national draft perspective, Rob?
Yeah, really big changes for them. Obviously, 13 guys they listed, and when we saw that big mass delisting at once, there was obviously some names there that we were all a little bit surprised about. Paul Ahern, Majak Dawe. I thought Jane McMillan had a bit more time still to play at AFL level if he was willing to, and he's gone into an off-field role now at the footy club. Jasper Pittard, Marley Williams, Mason Wood, guys that we've seen a fair bit of at AFL level. So with that, they lose a lot of depth, and you can only bring in so many draft picks. So I think there'll still be some delisted free agents. And the pool is quite big this year of delisted free agents. You guys talked about Jono Marsh just before being delisted from St Kilda today, and that's the sort of player that some experience, depth, that's not going to cost a lot from a salary cap perspective, North might look at outside of their draft hand, which is at the moment 2, 11 and 30 are their first three picks. We've discussed previously that potentially they could drop from pick 2 down to 5 or 6 and swap a couple of picks with Essendon. They'll have to make that assessment on whether they want to bring in top-end talent or an extra player, essentially, in the top 11 picks.
Rob, the expectations on the Kangaroos will be relatively low. New coach, a lot of players exiting, as you've mentioned. Are there some players there, and I think of someone like Cam Zerha, where we might see some of their young, talented players played in different positions or asked more of in terms of responsibility? Have you got your eye on a couple of those?
Yeah, I think there's a few guys there that we're going to see. They're not sort of make or break seasons, but they're definitely going to get some opportunities. And the hard one to pick, I think, with North Melbourne, when you look at their best 22 at the moment, is that they've lost a lot of players from their back six. So there'll be some spots at half-back that potentially some players can take. Now, is that someone like a Bailey Scott, who we've seen a little bit wing and a little bit forward? Does he play more as that running defender to get his career going? Obviously, they bring in Boston Bolaghi from Collingwood. He'll be one that you think will get an opportunity at half-back. We saw Aidan Bonner back there last year as well. So plenty of opportunities for these young Kangaroos. And really important role for some of the experienced heads around them to help support them. So I'll be interested to see how they use Jack Zeebel next year, whether he plays a bit more forward and tries to sort of anchor that forward line with Nick Larkey and provide just a bit more experience down there, because they are going to have a lot of young players across each line.
Would you be recommending, in terms of the delisted players that are going to be available, would you be suggesting they skew young to middle age, and or, you know, if the right players available and he happens to be in his 30s, don't be afraid to take that player on for a year or two?
I think they've got to go middle age. I think they've got enough of the older players to sustain them. I think we saw when Melbourne did their rebuild going back to about 2007 that they chopped too heavily off the top end, and James McDonald was the main one that everyone remembers that they let go. I think North have got enough with Goldstein, Cunnington, Zeeble, Robbie Tarrant. I think they've got enough older, experienced players across each line. It's just that there's going to be a lot of kids around them. So I think that 24 to 26 sort of bracket, maybe even a little bit younger, would be the delisted free agents they're looking at. And not to be long-term players necessarily for the club, but to make sure that they've got depth that keeps them competitive when the inevitable injuries hit during the season.
Right. Rob, would you put Paddy McCartan into that mix, just with where North Melbourne's at? And we know, you know, there's complications around whether he can get back to play. But if he was deemed fit, would you think the Kangaroos might look at someone like Paddy?
I think if he passes all the fitness requirements, he would be a low-cost option that would sit there well. And it's a high reward. You know, if he comes back and plays and his health's really good, I think he'd be a fantastic pickup for them. So I think one club will definitely pick up Paddy. I don't know who it'll be, but North would be a good fit. We know that Key Ford is an issue for them in particular. We expect that if they take pick two of the draft, they'll pick one of the two best Key Fords outside of Jamara Ugal-Hagan. So they're going to have some young players there. Having a slightly bigger, slightly older body in Tom McCartan, Paddy McCartan, sorry, would be really good for them.
Number one picks sitting available as cheap as you're going to get, Paddy McCartan, don't come along very often, particularly in the age bracket that he finds himself sitting. It'll prove irresistible to someone if, as you say, Rob, you know, he passes all of the tests required. So it's interesting, from McCartan there, I wonder, the other McCartans probably had a bit of a role to play in a bit of the changing of the guard. Not that it's been dramatically active at Port Adelaide, but maybe a McCartan's had a bit of a role to play in certainly one of their acquisitions.
Yeah, freeing up Alir to leave the club. And I heard Bob say earlier it was one of the better pickups. I think you described it as one of the best value pickups in the trade period. And I agree, Bob, completely. I think this is a great pickup. And when we've talked through each of these teams and their pickups, one of the things we've spoken about is the fit of the player in the system. And I think that's where Alir is absolutely perfect for Port Adelaide. He's a reading the cues, intercepting defender, and that'll work really well. And it was a little bit of a weakness for Port Adelaide, the tall backs. So I really like what they did bring in him and Ratio Fantasia, just adding to a top four list. So they did a great job in the trade period, Port Adelaide.
Here and now, aren't they? I mean, they're in the Geelong. If we're saying that something about Geelong, I mean, these guys, are Fantasia and Alir, are younger than, you know, the Geelong acquisitions, but, you know, leaving nobody, not investing heavily in the draft, bringing in a couple of ready-made senior players, they're here and now. That's completely and obviously their focus.
Yeah, it is. And I think what we've seen from Port Adelaide, they've been one of the best at really reacting to whatever they've needed to do in each year in the last couple of years. When there was an opportunity to trade out a couple of players and bring in those top 20 picks, they did it and they nailed those picks. This year, when they've got Lockie Jones, who is a NGA player for them, potentially in that sort of top 10 range, played for Woodville West Torrens in their seniors grand final. So played a full year of sample seniors footy. He had 18 disposals in the grand final. He'll come in as a halfback, potentially ready to play, and they get him just by using points from pick 35 onwards. So they've got a bit of a free kick with that one, and then they can go out and get some experienced players. So they keep bringing in ready-made players, which is perfect for where they're at right now.
Rob, do you think that Ken Hinckley could play Stephen Motlop and Fantasia in the same side? They're both sort of similar players. Fantasia on his second chance. Do you think they'll play both at the same time?
I think they can have a look at it, definitely. It's going to become a really difficult matchup for opposition defence when you've got guys like Motlop, Fantasia, and then Robbie Gray still rolling through there, a bit of midfield, a bit of forward. And maybe all this allows a bit more time for Dersmer, Butters, Rosie through the midfield. I know they've been up there at different times on the wing. But a little bit more inside time. Maybe Robbie Gray gets a bit more forward time. And it can become a bit of horses for courses for Port Adelaide. So it's a bit of an embarrassment of riches when you're looking at their half-forward crew. And that sort of level of speed with the way Port Adelaide play, it's going to be a very dangerous combination. So I'm sure they'll have a look at all of them playing together.
And the Tigers, they just keep rolling along. They've a couple of players have left the footy club. They've got a top 20 pick. It'd be interesting to see what they have to do to get young Rioli into the mix. But they're just continuing to sort of tick along nicely.
Yeah, they are. And inevitably, any team that has the level of success that Richmond have had are going to have players drop off the back end of it. You're going to get approached by other clubs. More money is going to get offered. Clearly, that they've been able to manage the salary cap pretty well. They have lost a couple of players in recent years, but nothing that's really hurt them too much on field. So I think at 17, they might look for a key position player if the right one's available. Obviously, having lost Alex Rance in recent years, but Asprey's 30, Grimes is 29, Jack Riewoldt's 32, Tom Lynch is 28. So some young key position players coming through, and they've got a couple there already, but they might look to add to that mix. And a bit of that might depend on when Noah Bolt is going to play. I think what we've seen of him so far is he's got this incredible athleticism and versatility that he could be a fantastic key defender, but he might end up being a key forward and pinch hitting in the ruck as well. So what they plan to do with Noah long-term may impact what they do at pick 17 this year.
Rob, is their management of the salary cap better than pretty good? Because, I mean, we've seen the troubles that some clubs get themselves into. This is a club that's won 3 out of 4. It's quite amazing, isn't it, really?
It really is. And convincing players to take less money after you've been successful is a little bit easier, I think, because you can say, look, we've got the group together. We know it works. Now everyone has to take a little bit less to keep the group together. And that happened at Geelong and Hawthorn really well. It seems that Richmond were able to sell that message a little bit earlier and maybe keep some money up their sleeve, and particularly came in handy after 2018 when they were able to bring Tom Lynch in. So they've done a great job with it. They've timed it really well. And they've had players that clubs have come hard for. Obviously, there was all kinds of money being thrown at Dusty Martin at one point there. So it's an outstanding job that the Richmond list management team have done under Blair Hartley.
Talking to Rob Hardy, can we extend the friendship for one more break? We obviously want to get through the other four. We need to get some commercial commitments ticked off. Can you stick around for another 10 minutes for us?
Absolutely.